Populism is a running theme in this year's run-up to the presidential primaries. And according to our book critic, Maureen Carrigan, many of this year's best books had a populist slant as well. Here are her best books of the year.
Chances are that many working-class Americans are having an anxious holiday season this year. The number of Americans without health insurance continues to climb, and the inequality of wealth and income has increased tremendously. But in books, if not in life, it was a great year for the working class. Richard Russo, who's made his mark writing about ordinary working stiffs in small upstate New York towns, gave us Bridge of Sighs, a big, fat, juicy package of realistic fiction wrapped up in butcher paper and tied off with string. The hero of Russo's latest novel is Lewis Lynch, unfortunately nicknamed Lucy, who runs the corner grocery store that his parents bought with their life savings in the 1950s. That grocery store is a clean, well-lighted place in a world of random evil, and Russo's quietly revelatory tale of the events that have taken place in and around the store over 60 years is a miracle of the mundane. Minjin Lee's Free Food for Millionaires is a sprawling wonder of a New York City novel that tells the class-climbing story of Casey Han, the Princeton-educated daughter of Korean immigrants who run a dry cleaning shop. Lee's Korean-American riff on the traditional concerns of the 19th century novel, money, marriage, and duty, is terrifically funny and enlightening. Roddy Doyle returned this year with a new book, Paula Spencer, named for the heroine of his 1996 novel, The Woman Who Walked Into Doors. Paula is now almost 50 and definitely not a beneficiary of Ireland's much ballyhooed economic boom. Her core of self-deprecating resolve helps Paula stick to her job as a cleaning lady, and her voice, wry, bitter, often punched up with obscenities, makes readers stick by her side. I loved Stuart Onan's new novella, Last Night at the Lobster, set in a Red Lobster restaurant on the day before it's scheduled to shut down on orders from corporate headquarters. Our hero is Manny De Leon, the 35-year-old manager who has to get his restaurant through one more day while a blizzard builds outside, and inside, employees desert faster than you can say, hold the tartar sauce. Granted, not every wonderful novel this year wore a blue or pink collar. The Other Side of You by Sally Vickers details the relationship between a psychiatrist and his patient, and it's written in that subtle, specifically female British tradition of Penelope Lively, Iris Murdoch, and Anita Bruckner. All these women write intelligently about characters whose relatively placid exteriors mask roiling inner lives. Speaking of brainy Brits, Ian McEwan popped up again with On Chesil Beach, another minor masterpiece of rumination and restraint. The French female mystery writer Fred Vargas was a fantastic find for me this year. Her intricate police procedural, Wash This Blood From My Hands, is now available in paperback, and happily, a translation from the French of another one of her mysteries will be out this spring. Last but not least on this year's fiction list is Anne Patchett's Run, a kind of realistic fairy tale about a father and his two adoptive sons that's a dazzling successor to Patchett's literary blockbuster, Bel Canto. Adoption was also the topic of one of my favorite nonfiction books of the year, A.M. Holmes's The Mistress's Daughter. In her compelling memoir, Holmes attests to both the undeniable power of blood and to random miracles of affinity. I also like the haunting biography of Thomas Hardy by Claire Tomalin, which details the life of one of literature's great gloomy Gusses, a man who seemed doomed to yearn most intensely for that which was out of reach. Arnold Rampersad's biography of Ralph Ellison was, for me, the nonfiction book of the year, a vivid and authoritative exploration not only of Ellison, but also of racial identity and mid-20th century American literary culture. Just to keep my Grinch critical credentials polished, I'll confess that this was a year where I dutifully read a lot of books that I ended up thinking were overrated. Among them, Dennis Johnson's cliched Vietnam epic Tree of Smoke, which won the National Book Award, and Juno Diaz's okay enough but not fabulous Spanglish tale, The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wao. One writer, though, who deserves all the accolades that can be piled atop him is Philip Roth. His short new novel, Exit Ghost, is so smart, so funny, so elegiac, so, oh, please, people, just give Roth the Nobel Prize in Literature already and make 2008 a year to celebrate.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. Her list can be found on our website, freshair.npr.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show.